Welcome to Quimby Church. The title of today's lesson is A Closer Look at Truth Statements. We're glad you're here with us this morning because our focus is going to be on what can we do to understand and live the freedom that this teaching promises its followers. You can say, I pray every morning, I turn away from stories of violence, sometimes I take the responsive reading home and read it again for inspiration. I remember how the Father loved and forgave his prodigal son. And I know it's a story about God's love and forgiveness of me. Yet my life goes along pretty much unchanged. If this sounds like your situation, today, let's listen. We may be ready for the next step. Let's open ourselves to be receptive to what the words we hear and repeat actually mean to us. We know what it means when we say, I'm hot. It's 90 degrees outside. In the program every Sunday, when we read that consciousness, and you can open your program and read with me, consciousness is the sum total of our beliefs, opinions, convictions, attitudes, and moods. It is our sense of identity. We literally live as consciousness beings. We read it, we say it, but we may not be sure just how that relates on our daily path. Makes sense when we're all together, and then when we go out in the world, sometimes it's hard to remember. In this teaching, we learn that consciousness attracts our conditions and relationships, positive and negative. So what is consciousness? How does it work? When we are awake, we take in all the stimulus from what we see, what we hear. And these impressions collect. And from our senses, they form our awareness. Some of these descriptions, some of these activities, we find uninteresting. We ignore them, and they pass right through our attention. However, some situations and conditions are interesting, and we begin an inner inspection and dialogue with them. Sometimes we can read a winning score of our favorite team, and it makes us smile and feel joyful. If we think about plans to be with people we like or love, pleasure fills us. If we are in pain, we feel stress, resistance, frustration that it hasn't gone away despite everything we've tried. All of these feelings are inside our mind. And this is consciousness. Look at the front of your program. It's there every Sunday. And we read, the power is not in the condition, but in the mood you allow these conditions to produce in your consciousness. Our moods, established attitudes, this consciousness is what makes our life out here on earth. It is consciousness that we cannot ignore or dismiss, because here is our choice for what conditions and relationships we draw to us. This is what spiritual people have known for thousands of years. It's a law that cannot be broken. In divine science, we call it the law of expression, or first within, then without, or as in mind, so in manifestation. We've seen this play out. All of us, I'm sure, know people who see a situation, traffic, for example, and complain. They get upset, not knowing the law of consciousness that attracts to us conditions like these primary blessings, feelings. These people find themselves in one frustrating situation after another to complain about. The weather is too hot or too cold. Politics. Family members' behavior. Every day, an unending loop of negative situations to resist and criticize. Dr. Seale wrote, we walk out to meet our consciousness. Now, here is the wonderful news. Jesus Christ said, know the truth, and the truth itself will make you free. Free from what? Free from whatever the outer world is throwing at us. We are in charge of what we give our attention to. We are the ones who monitor our reactions and change. We select forgiveness instead of blame. And we find this gives us peace of mind. We do this the way Craig lifted the inmates in prison. He did not ask, why are you here? What did you do? He just treated them as equals. His consciousness saw them with compassion. Jesus Christ did the same with the woman caught in adultery. The crowd of men had gathered, and under their law, the woman was to die by stones being thrown at her. Jesus didn't take an outer action to save this woman. He could have stood in front of her, and he could have spoken to the crowd about love and compassion. Instead, he zeroed in on their consciousness, on their attitudes. And he said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." The power to turn away an excited mob was not a mental argument, or Roman soldiers called in to disperse the crowd. It was consciousness. It was a totally internal activity by one man. And this activity is what sets us free. Jesus Christ walked around with the attitude, an acceptance that God is here. We are involved in the divine presence and activity. And in fact, it's the only activity. It spans all of time. Goliath had height and strength and every defensive protection at that time: helmet, shield, fine sword that he knew how to handle. Everything in the outer that would protect him. The shepherd David had the protection of one God, present everywhere. His strength and his protection was internal. As a shepherd, he had had a lot of practice keeping hungry wolves away from his father's sheep. He aimed rocks with his slingshot at precise areas of wolves' vulnerability. Saul, the king of Israel, was also the head of the Israeli army, and he offered the teenage boy his sword. It was the most he could do. David refused it because he said he had not proven it. It wasn't in his consciousness. He hadn't practiced with it to make it his. David just took the slingshot and the small rocks that were intimately part of his awareness. David met Goliath's taunts. "Oh my gosh, you're just a young boy coming out to meet me?" David did not answer. He just took his slingshot, found the exact open spot in that helmet, and fired off with such focus and accuracy that Goliath fell over dead. His army turned around and left, and Israel was saved. This same immediate presence and power is right here, today, within each one of us. David's trust and faith, practiced over years, alone in the pasture, guarding sheep, enabled him to defeat the greatest enemy of his day. And this exact same trust and faith gave him a source of psalms that inspire us today. We're familiar with the 23rd especially, And that one is supposedly written by David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The content of David's awareness led him from shepherd to king, as he eventually replaced Saul. His consciousness outpictured as the leader the people of Israel needed. In last Monday's letter to the editor section in the Times, a letter started out, "You can't get around consciousness." And the writer connects physicists and consciousness. He quotes a writer saying, asking whether consciousness is somehow involved in the observations of the world. The letter says, how could it not be? And the writer cites a number of early quantum physicists who were adamant for including consciousness everywhere. In 1931, a renowned German physicist, Max Planck, and I may not be pronouncing that correctly, who knew Einstein, Planck stated that he regarded consciousness as fundamental. He regarded matter as derivative from consciousness. Everything that exists postulates consciousness. I had to look up the word postulate. I found a definition that says, to postulate assumes the existence of the truth of something as the basis for reasoning, discussion, or belief. So the writer of the letter says that physicists in 1931 assumed the truth that consciousness is the beginning of all matter, the material world. The letter writer says physicists forgot this and went down a path that either took consciousness for granted or shrugged it off as part of our fickle, subjective world. However, now a new generation of physicists is open to the notion that you cannot get around consciousness. And the letter writer to the editor last Monday in the New York Times closes by saying, it's about time. Signed, Deepak Chopra, San Diego. In summary, whether we agree or not, consciousness is the power that designs and forms our conditions, our experiences. And so I do want us to go back and read the front of our program. The power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. pay attention to what is going on in your moods and your attitudes. You're always safe if it's love and forgiveness. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask your help in knowing and practicing the truth of your presence in every situation we meet. We praise you and thank you and know you are in us and out of us. Know that you are all there is. So it is. Amen.